Thank you for joining the Faith Church Podcast. Connect with us on social media to receive daily inspiration by searching at Your Faith Church on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Get live streaming notifications, receive daily encouragement, and stay up to date on the latest information. Follow, like, and subscribe today.
Hey, come on. Hey, celebrate your pastor, David and Nicole, right now. Come on, let them hear you. Man, we welcome it. All of our campuses, celebrate our campuses. Weldon Springs, Earth City, online. It's just amazing. Thank you, everybody. You can be seated. So awesome to be with you. Man, everybody doing good today, huh? Hope everyone's doing well. You look great. You look marvelous. It's so good to see everybody here. I tell you, I was driving over here and I was telling Chris, I said, boy, Faith Church has come a long way since Larkin Williams, that building that was over there. And I see people just like, yeah, I was there. And I just tell you something, just watch God just explode and bring you into this campus, the Earth City campus, the Weldon Springs. You know, Faith Church, God's taken you from faith to faith, from glory to glory, has blessed you. And I want you to never take your pastors for granted. You know, sometimes when you're just a part of something amazing and miraculous, you can sometimes just take it for granted and not realize how blessed we are as a church here. Amen? And blessed to have some of the most hardest working, dedicated, committed pastors, and David and Nicole, that just love you and pour their life into you. And man, I'm honored to call them friends. You're favored to call them your pastors, and I'm excited to be here. He calls me the Greek Joel Osteen. Did you hear that? Well, let's do it. This is my Bible. I believe what? No, I want you to realize I've been called a lot of things, mainly by my wife. But one of the things that I've been called is the Apostle of Paradise, because I live in Destin, Florida. How many of you have been to Destin? Let me see your hand. You've been, oh my gosh. Wow. It's a fabulous place, isn't it? And we're down there and they started calling me the Apostle of Paradise. And I'm like, you know, I kind of like that, you know? And I was joking with some people. I was like, remember when Jesus said to the thief on the cross, he said, you know, he goes, today you'll be with me. Where? Anybody know? In? Yeah. They were going to Destin, Florida. Heaven, Destin, Florida. No, heaven is heaven. Amen. Hey, listen, I'm so grateful to call Pastor David and Nicole friends, and I want to speak to you on a message called friendship. Everybody say friendship. Friendship. I want you to open your Bibles, turn there, click there, get there. Proverbs 18. There's a very unique passage of Scripture. In Proverbs 18:24, one translation says this powerful verse: a man with many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a, say the last word, everybody. Brother. It's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And as I think about that and meditate that, I begin to realize, wow, how can a man with many companions come to ruin unless he believes he has something that he really doesn't have? Think about that for a second. That in your hour of need, when you really need someone, when you're counting on someone, Ecclesiastes says, woe to the man who falls and doesn't have a friend to pick him up. See, in today's world with high tech and social media, more people are so connected, yet so many people are never more alone. It's true. You know, the average person last year had 338 friends on Facebook. Can I say something to you? They're not friends. They're followers. They're like Twitter followers. They're Facebook followers. I'm talking about the friends that are so precious and priceless, that meet the deep needs of your soul, that you count on one hand. Those are true, faithful friends. Amen? And so many of us make the mistake of thinking that we have something that we don't, and when we really need a friend, we realize all we had were companions, acquaintances. And in our hour of need, we need true and faithful friends. Amen? We were doing a night of worship at the beginning of the year, and man, began to stagger and break out in sweats, and we sat him down by a chair, and it was something amazing to behold. We thought he was just having like a low blood sugar thing, and so we rushed and go get him some orange juice to kind of bring his sugar up, and nothing changed. As a matter of fact, he couldn't even swallow. We realized he was having a brain bleed when we rushed him to the hospital. And thank God, through prayer, faith, healing, doctors, great people around him, he's well. But something happened because he's a contractor. He's just a salt of the earth kind of a man that, you know, makes his money as a contractor building homes. And contractors don't get paid until they finish certain phases of a home and they get what's called a draw. And he couldn't keep the house that he was building going, and he couldn't get any draws to pay his employees, to pay his materials, and then to pay himself, to be able to pay his rent and his utilities and food. And two people in his small groups that were not followers, that were not fans, but were real friends, came up to him and said, "We'll help finish the home. We're in the same industry." They were in the same industry, and they didn't take his customer, but they helped him. They finished his home, got draw after draw after draw, and was able to keep him from coming to ruin. I realized that that man, those two guys stepped up and kept him from coming to ruin, because it wasn't companions that stepped up, it was friends that stepped up. And we need friends. And I think it's important. There's no better friendship in the Bible than David and Jonathan. David and Jonathan were great, great friends. And in 1 Samuel 18, the Bible tells us that now when he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David. And Jonathan loved him as his own what? Say the last word.
Soul.
Now let me show you something that the Bible teaches us that is very significant. There are key relationships that we need to bond with. The first and foremost is the Lord. Yes or no?
Yes.
It's the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 says, "He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit." Everybody say one spirit.
One spirit.
That's what you have with Jesus. You're one spirit with him. Then the Bible says when he joins you to a church, like you are here connected throughout the church, you are, the Bible says in Acts chapter 4, they were all of one heart. Everybody say one heart. We have one heart here to win our region, to change lives, to build families, transform communities. That's our heart here. Amen? One heart. You need a relationship with Jesus. You need a relationship with the church. And then the Bible says that when God created Adam and Eve, the two became one flesh. Everyone say one flesh. Begin to realize that's your spouse. Most of you in here will get married or are married, and you begin to realize that it was not good for man to be alone. And God said, "I want you to have someone that you can be connected to." But we just read a verse of scripture in 1 Samuel 18 that these two guys became one soul. You see, your soulmates are your friends. And you begin to realize that it's something passionate. It's nothing impure. It's nothing unclean. It's nothing unnatural. David and Jonathan were deep, abiding friends. And how many know it's great for our spouse to also be our friend? But how many of you know that our spouse can't be our only friend? And just like there's people that say, "All I need is the Lord." No, you don't. You're cheating yourself. You need a church. You need a spouse. You need a friend. You need one heart, one soul, one spirit, one flesh. And God says that begins to come. That's why God wasn't enough for Adam. That's why it's not good for man to be alone. You begin to realize we have a longing for precious, priceless friendships, but not the kind that we think we have all these fans and followers, the kind that you can count on, come on one what?
Yeah.
I want you to remember that. It's significant, and I want you to write this thought down. Don't confuse fans with friends. Don't confuse them. Don't make that mistake. Jesus had thousands of followers. Thousands of fans. You'd have bombed, Jesus. You'd a bomb. You, no one walks on water except you. No one multiplies bread like you. You raise the dead. You turn water to wine. You'd a bomb. So what? Everyone said that. When he needed somebody, there was only one man at the foot of the cross. His name was John. And he looked down and said, "Take care of my mom." Come on, somebody. It wasn't those people that were screaming Hosanna and all those people. It was one man that was at the foot of the cross. One friend that he could count on to take care of his mom. See, that we confuse fans and followers with friends. Don't make that. David had thousands and tens of thousands of people saying, "You'd a bomb too. You killed Goliath. No one fights like you." But he could count on Jonathan and Nathan, his prophet. Those two that he could count on. Listen to me. There is a handful that God assigns to us over a course of life. We should be believing for them. And when we find them, we should never mismanage them, because friends are a gift from Almighty God. Amen? They really are. Well, Pastor, how do I know the difference between a fan and a friend? Simple. Move and see who comes to help you load and unload your truck. You know I'm telling the truth. Only friends strap washing machines on their back, take them up 3 flights of stairs. Listen, I want to just tell you some things that a friend is. And number one, they're a here to the end kind of a friend. They're here to an end. They're with you through thick and thin. The Bible tells us that Jonathan said to David in 1 Samuel 23:17, "Don't fear, the hand of Saul, my father, shall not find you. You shall be king over Israel, and I shall be," say those next three words, "next to you." They're here to a friend. They're always next to you. You never have to worry where they are. You never have to worry if they're going to be there. They're there through thick and thin. Proverbs 17:17 says, "A friend loves at what? At all times." Not sometimes, not only during the good times, but a friend is there at all times. When you fail, when you fall, when you struggle, when you get laid off, when something happens to you physically. Listen to me. We're friends at all times because that's the spirit of a great friend. That's why Jesus said to you and I, "I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of this world." Why? Because a faithful friend is a friend at all times. We were watching the movie, Jackie and I, called The Notebook. Anybody ever see that movie, The Notebook? My word. I cried so much, I dehydrated. Had to go to the hospital and get an IV. I was just dry. I just couldn't stop crying and crying and crying. I'm like, no wonder we don't like to watch chick flicks. I thought it was a never-ending Hallmark movie, just going on, and just couldn't stop crying. And crying we did, but we realized why we were crying. We saw the deepest need of a man's soul when he would never leave the side of his wife, even though his wife couldn't remember him in that home when she had Alzheimer's. It's moving. And Jackie, you know, I looked over at Jackie like, "Did you do that for me?" And Jackie looked over at me and like, "Would you be there for me?" We didn't answer each other. I know we would. We love each other. Here to the end. Kind of a friend, amen? We need them. They're precious. They're priceless. Number two, they're vision casters. They have to cast vision for you. 1 Samuel 23:17, it comes up again. He said, "You will be king, and my father knows it. But I don't see it." You're still going to be it. "I don't see that in myself." See, we need friends, true friends, that'll speak into our future, that'll speak faith into our future, that'll help us overcome our fears, and help us overcome our worries and our doubts. Friends that'll bring hope into our life. Friends that will inspire us. Friends that will speak futuristically to us. "You will be king. I see it." Peter, Jesus looked at Peter, and Peter's like, leave me, Jesus. I'm just a sinner. You don't want anything to do with me. And Jesus looked at Peter, and he said, no. You're going to catch men, not just fish. I see something in you that you don't even see in you. Vision casters speak faith and future into the lives of their friends. You need to speak that to each other because we all need encouragement, amen? We all need hope. We need to believe that for one another. It's so essential. I remember my best friend who led me to the Lord, who's walked through my pains in life at all times. And I never thought I'd be a pastor. I never thought I'd start that church that Pastor David introduced, you know, that we started, and now God is blessed. I never thought that. I never saw that. But he did. He kept saying, God's going to use you. God's going to do something great through you. I was like, no, I don't see it. Yes, you're going to. I remember when we started our church, October 7, 2001, he came all the way over from Mobile. We didn't let distance stop us from being covenant friends. And we went all the way over to Mobile. And it was just, he came over from Mobile and he started crying on our opening Sunday. I mean, he was crying like a baby. And he said to me, this is it. I said, why are you crying? He goes, this is what I saw. I said, that's not why you're crying. You're crying because you don't think anyone's coming on opening Sunday. He goes, no, they're coming. And they came. And he's been a source of faith for me. We're about to open our fifth campus. The church that sent us out, he looked at me and he said, that's going to be your inheritance. That's your inheritance. You're going to come back and you're going to rebuild it and it's going to be something great. I never could see it. He says, I see it because a friend is a vision caster. He's here to the end, kind of a friend. And listen to me. And number three, they're also, hear me, they're soul sharpeners. This is where they don't just speak into your life. This is more than just that they're by your side. This is where they begin to just kind of, with their words, rub you the wrong way and begin to let the friction get there and the sparks begin to fly as they begin to sharpen the dull areas of your life. Do you have a soul sharpener in your life? Do you let people close enough to speak into your life? See, how many of you know that most of us have blind spots? Yes or no? Yes or no? You know we do. And I know, you know, in today's high-tech world, you know, you know, lights go off, you know, on your rear view, on your, you know, side rear view mirror and let you know if a car's there. But in the old days, you know, this is, you had just a plain old mirror and this. You know what I'm talking about? That's it. You had to be your own eyes. But between that rear view mirror and that left quarter panel, an 18-wheeler could hide there. And you made a wrong decision to lane change, and you'd get in a wreck. Soul sharpeners keep you from wrecking, hear me, relationships in your lives. See, one of the things that you need a soul sharpener on is to help you be a better parent, better husband, better wife, to be a better teammate at work, to be a better son and daughter of Almighty God. Come on, somebody. You need soul sharpeners in your life. And sometimes we don't like what they say. And this is why so many people don't have deep relationships. They have superficial relationships because they won't allow people to get that close to let the sparks fly to make them a better person. Come on, I'm telling the truth. And this is why it's significant that we allow soul sharpeners to be in our lives, to help us in order to, you know what I'm saying, to sharpen us. And number four, they're truth tellers. They're truth tellers. It's so significant that we have truth tellers in our lives. Not to tell us what we want to hear, but what we, come on, finish it. You know it, don't you? Well, we need to hear. We don't always enjoy that, but truth tellers will tell us what we need to hear. I love that Nathan was a true friend of David. He had taken Bathsheba from another man, had relations with her, got her pregnant, then got her husband killed. And Nathan came and confronted him. Don't think the nation was stupid. Don't think people couldn't tell that he had done that. As they saw, you know, that he had a quickie marriage, and all of a sudden her belly started, you know what I'm saying, showing, and lo and behold, her husband, you know, is dead and in war. And you don't think people are stupid, but nobody would say anything except Nathan when he came to him and he said, I want to tell you something. What you did was wrong. God's not pleased with it. The truth is, you did something wrong and deceitful. You need to repent. And David said, thank you for being a friend. And he named the son, Solomon, his next son, he named Nathan after the prophet because he knew he could count on a friend that would tell him the truth. Not what we want to hear, but what we need to hear so we can make the adjustments in our lives. Do you have those people in your life? Are you that person in people's lives? It is so significant for us to have truth tellers. I remember when during my summer break, many, many years ago, almost 10 years ago, I decided to dye my hair jet black. I mean, I was born with jet black hair. I'm Greek. And came back, you know, to staff, and people started looking at me, you know, different. And a couple of them were like, ooh, pastor, you know, that you look different. And some of them were like, ooh, you look skinny. Oh, you're looking good. And I'm like, I'm going to go ask a friend. I'm going to go ask a truth teller. John, come here. What'd you think of my hair? It looks like shoe polish, he said to me. That wounded me. That hurt. But I knew it was right. I knew it looked like shoe polish. Everybody told me what I wanted to hear. But down deep, he told me what I needed to hear. He said, don't ever do it again. And this is the way it's been ever since then. Gray. Why? Hear me. Proverbs 27:5 says, open rebuke is better than secret love. There's no such thing as secret love. If you're holding something back, you don't love that person. There's no such thing. That's why the very next verse says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. That wounded me that I look like shoe polish, but I needed to hear that. What do you need to hear? What do you need to say that sometimes you hold back? Doesn't mean you just blurt it out, but Ephesians 4:15 says, speaking the truth in love. That you don't hold back the truth. At the same time, you share your love by speaking the truth. It is so significant in Ephesians 4:15. So how are we friends? How do we get these friends? How do I get a vision caster, a soul sharpener, an here to the end kind of a friend in my life? I'm going to tell you, Proverbs 18:24 says, he that wants friends must show himself to be what? Say it. You want to reap it? Sow it. We love Jesus. The Bible says we love him because he what? In other words, he sowed it to reap it. You have to be intentional to have friends and to be a friend. He that wants friends. And can I say this? The Bible says he that wins souls is what? Anybody know? Wise. You know, to win friends and to win souls is the same thing. It's to learn. The secret I'm going to share with you in winning friends is the same secret that I want to share with you in winning souls. Because you want to capture the heart of someone. And I'm just going to give you three simple thoughts, and I want you to write these down if you want. Number one, you need to learn how to relate to others. Relate to others. Get out of your world and into theirs. Don't try to bring people into your world before you go into their world. Did we go into Jesus' world first, or did Jesus come into our world first? You see, he came into our world first. 1 Samuel 18 says, Jonathan took off his robe. He came out of the palace. and was on him and gave it to David with his armor, even to his sword, even his bow and his belt. Here's what Jonathan did. He said, I just want to relate to you. You're a shepherd and I'm a king's son. But I'm going to get out of my world and into your world. It's a picture of how he got into our world. Jesus took off the robes of his kingship, come on, and left heaven, put on flesh, became like you and I, cried like us, was tempted like us, related to us, took an interest in us. And as he took an interest in us, we began to take an interest in him. He came into our world, and now we're into his world because he knew how to win our hearts, learn how to relate to other people. If you don't relate to other people, see, most people try to get people to be interested in them. And we need to first take an interest in others. Take an interest in others rather than trying to get people to be interested in you. And as you do that, you begin to sow the seed of relating to other people. Number two, don't be a threat to other people. You see, when you relate to someone, you're not lowering your standards to relate to someone. Can I hear a great big amen? You're not desperate for friends that bad to where you throw off your biblical values and the standards of the Word of God to make friends. Are you listening to me, young people? We don't do that. We're not that desperate. We're not going to do evil things and wrong things in order to make friends because those aren't true friends. So learning to relate with someone is not lowering your standards. And being a threat to someone is not secretly to compete with someone. Friends don't compete with each other. They don't secretly compete. They cheer openly. They celebrate. I mean, I try to relate to my wife by watching, you know, chick flicks and not just The Notebook, but I was watching Miss Congeniality. Anybody ever see that movie? You know, where Sandra Bullock's an undercover cop at a beauty pageant. And she's there during the Q&A session. And she says, we've all become good friends here. But down deep, we secretly wish that the other would fall flat on their face. And she goes, oh, wait, I already did that when she stumbled and took a splat. Well, friends don't do that. Friends don't wish to be better or compete with other friends. I loved how Jonathan said, I'm taking off my sword. I'm taking off my sword. And I'm not going to be a threat to you. You know, Jonathan wasn't threatened by David's anointing, his ability to be a better warrior. And David wasn't threatened by Jonathan, even though Jonathan's father was out to kill him because he was threatened by him. We don't threaten each other, but we celebrate each other. Amen. And last but not least, we go out of our way for each other. Who can you count on? Who can you call on? I wasn't joking when I talked about moving. Who will go out of their way for you? Who will inconvenience themselves for you? Because hear me, I'm not talking about someone that's casual. I'm not talking about someone that's close. I'm talking about someone that is covenant. Covenant is a whole nother level of relationship. You know, your barista that knows how to write your name on your cup because she knows your routine and how you take your macchiato, hear me, is a casual friend. She's not a covenant friend. You're a person that's really close at work. You're a person that's really close at work, okay? They might be close, but they're not covenant. I had this lady come up to me, oh, Pastor, I'm just so sad. I got a promotion. I'm having to leave, and I don't know how my teammates are going to take this and how my boss is going to feel about it. I said, listen to me. They'll have your replacement by noon. It's just close. Covenant is here to the end, to go out of my way, to take care of your family, to be there with you. Covenant is a precious, priceless thing. Amen? We're going to go out of our way for each other. We're never going to threaten each other. And we're going to find ourselves always relating to one another. I want us to pray together today. Come on, every head bowed and eye closed. And I want to pray for you this morning. Father, this morning I thank you that you are our friend.
that you went out of your way to die for us on the cross. You said there's no greater love as this than a man lay down his life for his friend. May we be the kind of friends that get out of our way to help others. Lord, bless this congregation, those that have friends, deep covenant friends, may they cherish them and never mismanage them. May those that are longing for friends, may they begin to sow it, and may you supernaturally help them reap it. I bless my friends, David and Nicole, here in St. Louis, and I bless Faith Church in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Did you get something out of that today, Faith Church? Love you so much.
We're glad you joined us today. We know God is doing so much in and through your life, and we want to hear about it. If you take a moment and send us an email and tell us your story at yournewfriend@faithchurch.com. Also, if you'd like to support and partner with this ministry, we'd love for you to go to faithchurch.com/give and simply select the best giving option for you. Thanks again for joining us. We hope you enjoyed today's message.